Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Well, good morning, everyone. And it's my privilege to introduce Reverend Donna Rohr Miller. She's the director in Ghana of our ministry, Titian Ministries, and we were discussing yesterday in our living room how it all unfolded that Donna ended up being the director of Titian Ministries in Ghana. And I'm so grateful that God put the dots together and spoke to Donna a year before that she was going to be moving. And so when she got my email, it was a done deal. It's nice when God does it that way. Anyway, it's our privilege to have her speak this morning and give you an update as to what is happening in the ministry over there. So would you please welcome her?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jay, for giving us the time today, for me the time to speak. And Pastor Gary, she's our rock. She's a rock because she stands on the rock. And she's a strength behind the ministry. There wouldn't be any Titian Ministries without her. And then I know many of you are behind her or with her, joining her. I'm actually, what you're going to see when I show you the slides, which I'm going to talk a little bit before the slides, is for 2 years. In the meantime, Pastor Gary has updated you at different times, so you'll see some things you already know. But I wanted to summarize what's happened since the last time I came and where we are now. So this time, last time I came, and the Lord usually gives me a theme when I share, and last time it was all of the ways that we seemed stuck on what to do in situations and how he opened a way for things. This time, you're going to learn a little bit about the Lord's way with me. He told me that this time I'm kind of like part of the theme. Now, don't take that the wrong way. You'll understand as I talk about it. Because it's really true about all of us. You know, God needs a person. He needs a man. He needs a woman. And we come in our own ways, but he has ideas of the way he'd like to mold us and to fit us into the work that we're doing. And so this year time, it's been a little bit about me. It always is, but I don't always tell you about it. You know, we're the Lord's children, but we're the Lord's workers too. So he's looking for two things. He's looking for the way we are like him. He's also looking at the work we do. But a lot of what we do is based on what we are and how he's developed us into his image. You see throughout the Old Testament how he always concentrates on needing someone in the right situation. All through it, we go through Adam, we go through Noah, you know, we go through Moses, and on through the Old Testament. But what we see in the New Testament is that he has actually poured out his spirit on all of us. So if there's anybody who's a believer in this room, you're not immune from that. You're the one God has his finger on. And for me, I'm the one he put his finger on for Ghana. But each of us is different. Each of us is unique. You know, I always get the, like, missionaries must carry an aura about us because most people can't understand moving overseas. But I can't even imagine in my life being here now or in the U.S. where I'm from. Each of us is created to be the place where we are. So for me, it would be harder for me to step into what you think is a normal thing. For me, it wouldn't be. But these last 2 years, to tell you the truth, have been really rough for me. There was a lot going on both in this ministry and also in a ministry I carried that I started before I became part of Titian. For the Titian Ministries, it involves staffing. We had some trouble with some staff member I had to let go. I'm not going to go into details, but that didn't bother me as much as the fact that all of my staff knew what was going on with this member, just about everybody, and even some other people who we've helped with schooling and things, and no one let me know. And so it was a time of betrayal. I've never in my life felt betrayed like that before. It was a time where I'm kind of like on the despair end of things and really got impacted by that. And thank God, I was also given the gift of coming home for Christmas that year. That was 2003, and that helped. But I went back into a situation where I didn't have the staff I had before. I was trying to put things back in order, trying to trust the people who hadn't spoken up before. And then also in my other ministry, there were a lot of difficult things going on. People with illnesses and other kinds of, especially in 2004, going into 2005, other big problems that I was involved with. And so I was getting really wrapped up in all of that stuff. What happened is I had a friend who spoke a word at the right time. You know, I've been a Christian. You know how long I've been a Christian? Anyone want to guess? 1972. Longer than most people have been alive in this room, probably, or a lot of you anyways. But the thing, and I've been serious most of that time, but the thing is, the Lord develops you as you go along, you know? I look at myself sometimes and think, what else could be inside there? He seems to find something, you know? I don't know if he'll ever, does he get us to perfection someday? I tell him, do it fast. He said, well, that would kill you. I'm not doing that. So, but a word from a friend is what woke me up. You know, we need our Christian friends. We need our fellowship. And she told me something that I knew. But it was a word in the right season. It says that in Proverbs. It says, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. And she said, I'm going to tell you exactly. This is a friend, by the way, who's dealing with pancreatic cancer herself. And she's encouraging me. She said, seek him, not just for your own work and your needs, but for an ever deeper heart relationship with him. It will give you a joy that nothing else can bring. Seek him. You know, I'm praying every day. I mean, I have the luxury of having quiet time in the morning that's not interrupted most of the time. And I'm praying every day. I'm spending time with the Lord every day, but I'm praying about the situations. And this refocused me. It refocused me on the Lord. You know, this has happened in my life before when I needed to go back to Ghana. After doing an internship there, I had no idea how I would get back, and I would pray, and I would pray, and I would pray, and I would pray, and I was getting nowhere. And one time I was in church, and the Lord said to me, stop asking me and just pray to me. Just think about me. And he had to do that again to me. He had to stop me. I think of it like Peter. Peter walking on the water. You know that, many of you I'm sure know that story, but he started out very bold. You know, he saw Jesus coming. He said, if that's you, Jesus, call me. And he stepped out. But what distracted him, right? The wind and the waves and what was going on around him. And with that distraction, he no longer had his focus and he started to sink. And that's what I felt like I did. I was starting to sink. Not that I'm stubborn, you know, I'm very stubborn. I was going to get through it. I was going to get to the end. But I was getting like this to the end of things, you know, like this. I wasn't joyful. I wasn't at peace. I was marching on. That wasn't what the Lord intended for me. That wasn't the way he wanted me to live my life, even for my own benefit, much less for the benefit of the ministry. So just like Jesus, I needed to lift my eyes again him. I mean, just like Peter. Peter said, finally called out Jesus, and Jesus did pick him up. You know, he picked him up, and the waves were still going. The wind was still going. When he picks us up, it doesn't stop everything immediately. And peace came to my heart the more I concentrated on him. And the quicker I concentrated on him when, you know, you think you're okay. Peace comes to your heart, then you get slammed with something else, right? But the more I did it, the more focused I became and the quicker I would return to that peace. And it wasn't until Peter and Jesus stepped back in the boat that Jesus then calmed the waves. You know, and that's what our lives are like. I'm sure people here have things they're going through, unless this is a very unusual congregation that doesn't live in the world. But there's things that we go through, right? There's things that happen. And we all need that to learn that more and more each time, that focus on Jesus, and that it doesn't mean everything will change instantly, but we have that hope. We have that, was that the word for you guys, right? Hope or no, joy? Hope, hope. We have that. I do listen to your, I'm only one behind on your teachings, on your sermons. We have that hope because we know that, first of all, Jesus is going through it with us and leading us if we're willing to follow him, and that he will bring us to the end of it when it's time for the end of it to come. So it was very unusual. This time I came home looking good. I usually come home looking a little haggard. You know, I need a break. You know, anybody who's ready to go on vacation from their job, right? You're really ready for that break. And I usually come home that way. So I think there's a big difference in my appearance depending on how I'm feeling. Because whenever I'm at peace, people tell me I'm looking young. And when I came home this time, that's the, I mean, there's a limit to how young I can look. But that's what they said to me. You're looking young. And, you know, I surprised everybody, but it was great. It was great. The verse the Lord gave me to kind of summarize this, plus what I'm going to be showing you soon, is 2 Corinthians 2:14. It says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses or manifests the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." In the message, it says, in the Messiah, in Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. Through us, he brings knowledge of Christ. Everywhere we go, people breathe in the exquisite fragrance. You know, that was part of the difference in me after I focused on the Lord and came to more peace, is the fragrance I was giving off was no longer tension and ready to kind of maybe even be angry sometimes, but it was peace and it was love. And I would say even maybe more joy. You know, I'm the kind who likes to crack jokes once in a while, but they get to be softer jokes when I'm in a good mood, when I'm at peace, because they come from a heart that's a bit softer. I know the Lord's probably got other things I need to change, but I'm hoping that these next 2 years, keep us in prayer, keep me in prayer, will be a little bit easier. Things are really going well. You're going to see that. God did a lot. While he's working on me, he didn't say, oh, then you can't do the work, nothing will happen, and everything will fall down. Everything happened together. That's his grace. That's really his grace. As I was dealing with things, he was helping, and things were moving along. And really, we have a lot that was accomplished. Okay, I think I'm ready for the slides. Then, if you can put them up. Okay, what you're seeing here is the signboard outside of the place where I live. We have two places that right now. I live on the river, and this was the original place that was started by the missionary years and years ago, the late 1990s. And this is our current signboard. I listened to your last talk before the one before that, and you said this, what our thing says there is Isaiah 61:1. It's the same verse. That was Sharon's verse. Sharon was the original missionary, and that's still on our signboard. Next slide, please. We have three focuses. We have Bible school, and we have, of course, ministry with Bible school. At times, we have conferences. We have the elderly, and then we have children. So that's what you're going to see now. The Bible school we have running now is one that I was involved with before we started one with Titian Ministries. It's short-term, very impactful, intensive training, but it's aimed so that anybody can go. We have some who have been in university. We have some who have like had class 2 grad education. We really work at, I get translated, and we work at reaching them at whatever level they are. But you wouldn't believe, people who haven't had education, it has nothing to do with intelligence. And I'm telling you, they even have to learn more because they can't read the books in English. But they remember, they have to pass all the tests and keep up with the class, and they've really done well. They're just so thankful to really get the opportunity. This is our sixth class. We've had five graduations, and we took a small break during some of that time. We were going through some changes. We have the man to my left from where you're sitting is our new dean. He's really a good man who stepped in, and without his support, we couldn't run the Bible school while I was gone, so I was really glad to have him. The one on the right is a handicapped man who was told by his overseeing pastor that handicapped people can't be pastors. He's in a village, and so he stopped meeting with the people, and the church fell apart. And all of a sudden, they decided, well, handicapped men could be pastors. Right now, we have a church working on supplying him with a wheelchair tricycle. It's a wheelchair that then can be hooked up to like a tricycle that you operate with your hands. His legs are the problem. His legs just collapse under him. And so we're really excited about bringing that back to him. Next slide. Now we have our elderly. This has been part of the focus since the beginning of this ministry. There's a lot of poor elderly, and if they don't have family who can help them, they have no support from government or anything like that. In fact, this Titian Ministries had the first program for the elderly, and as far as we know, except one that I do too, they might be the only programs in Ghana helping the elderly. More people help children and things like that than the elderly. So we give out packages once a month. We have a time of worship and pray and a small preaching, and then we give out the packages. Next slide, you'll see some of the people. This was our Christmas one where we give some extra packages. The girl's singing. You can't see her, but she's a really nice girl who's working with us now. She's been a great add to the staff. The person on the right up on the top was somebody who's handicapped. She's the only one who's not elderly, but she was with Titian originally, so we kept her on it. The next slide just shows some of our homebound people. Caregivers will come and collect the packages. Even though they have caregivers, the caregivers also don't have much. So for them to care for the person, the packages help. The one in the middle, the woman in the middle, she's one of our graduates from the Bible school. Next slide. Now you're going to see that most of what we do all centers around children. We care about the Bible school. We care about the elderly, but what we're doing there doesn't take the time and the amount of effort that it does for these children programs. We used to have a children's home, many of you know, but the whole move has been from children's home into foster care because it's a more home-like situation. So we support foster parents in care of their children. We do educational and medical support for some of the kids who came out of the children's home and who are with other relatives. We have done some educational assistance for our employees' children. And also, we're working with a school, a Christian school in a village. And you'll see slides for all these. The next slide. This is our one that's a full foster family. William and Hove, her name is, she likes to be called Charity, which is her other name. They've been with Titian since long time ago. They got married at Titian. They now have the foster family. They have their own children, and they have the four foster kids. The little boy on the bottom was the first one. His name is Kwabena, and he's just a bright star. He's a delight. He doesn't stop moving. He's curious about everything. The next two girls came from abusive situations and were brought in. They're not sisters, but they came to us at the same time about a year and a half ago. the older one is a little bit lower in grade than she should be, but she's that teenager just really concerned with being a woman more than anything else. And then the younger one has had to had some guidance to get away. She was in a situation where there's a lot of verbal abuse, so she's needed a little guidance to get away from copying that. But she's doing very well. The top one, Sedum, actually has cerebral palsy, and they gave her to them. They asked to place her with them because they knew William and Hove could take care of it. She's had to have casting to straighten her legs to walk better. She actually doesn't have a lot of physical changes. She can walk. She's like a very happy child. She runs up to you when you come. She's my most delight. But she also, though, is only in nursery because she's still in diapers and they're trying to potty train her now. But she doesn't care. She was thrilled to go to school with the other kids. Okay, the next slide. We have two more. I know you heard about your Christmas giving to us, but I'll tell you, I don't think you can realize how wonderful it was. The toys, like, it was my best Christmas in Ghana. Because we went shopping for the toys and we bought everything we thought would be good for them, everything. I mean, that doesn't happen. And then we had some money because we got a TV. They didn't have a TV. Now they're being careful in the use of it, but they have a TV. And then some of the other kids that aren't at the children, this home, also, everybody got something. Next slide. This is Pastor Fred and his wife. He's the one who has the children's school that we'll get to. They have two of our kids, the two in the front, Peter and Paul, who I'm sure if you've been here, you've heard about in the past. Those two are so happy where they are. I've never seen them like this, even when they were okay before. They just love it. And they're learning now. They weren't learning well before. And they're helping. Blessing has a little store, and they're helping with that, and they're playing football. They love it. They also have their own kids, and they have two twins that they got because her sister-in-law died, and then the husband died, and these two twins, the girl twins, have been with them since they were born. So they're a very accepting, loving family. Blessing was in our IM Bible school, and Pastor Fred and was in the Bible college that used to be there, and he has the church that grew out of the Bible college, which the school you'll see is part of. So they're very involved with us. Pastor Fred teaches in the Bible school, and he's also on our board. So next slide. These are some of the children now, they're not children anymore, who were helping go through school because they were in the children's home. Joshua is the one covering for me. He graduated, now it's been a year and a half. He went through government service, and he was just finishing when I was coming here, so he was able to come and cover for me. That was wonderful. You know, it's like having your son be able to do the work. And then his brother on the right, they're twins. Joseph, he's just finished his last exams, and he's going to take his licensure exams for teaching. And I'll tell you, that's a miracle, really. Joseph went through some hard times, walked away from us for a while, and to see him accomplish this is wonderful. Prosper in the middle is in university for graphic arts. For some reason, I always forget that, and had to have a special computer and camera that we had a church who donated the money for that. And he's just delighted. He loves what he's doing. Next slide. Daniel on the top, that was him getting some of his Christmas gifts on Christmas. He was able to pick out brand new exactly what he wanted in jeans and shirt and all. He's in catering in high school. They can pick a specialty. He didn't realize it was mostly only girls who ever took that. And so he was shocked when he found out that he was the only boy in the class, but he's enjoying it. Sinanu, the bike you see is his new bike from you, from the Christmas money. He had a smaller one, but was too big for it, and it kept breaking. So we were able to get him this very strong new bike. He's in junior high, ready to go to high school next year. And then on the bottom, you see Janet. That's William and Hove's daughter. And when we help the staff, we pay part, and they pay part, and we helped her go through nursing school. And right now, Pastor Fred's son, we're helping him go through college. The next slide. Now we have the school that we work with. That's called Winning Star Preparatory School. It's a Christian school. It gets no government funding. They're in a farming village, and they don't get much from the people either because it's subsistence farming. And then there's also a lot of orphans where people don't have the money. They'll take their relative orphan in, but don't really have the money to put them in school. So that's the reason we support the school so heavily, so that they can care for these kids who wouldn't go to school otherwise. In fact, Pastor Fred even reached out to a neighboring village where he knew the kids weren't going to school and brought some of them in. And they stay there during the week and then go home on weekends. We drilled a well. Their community water system broke down, and they were getting water directly from the river. And Pastor Gary said, we need to drill a well for them. So I didn't drill it. You can see. I can't operate that machine. We pay for the salaries. We pay for food so that kids can eat twice a day. And we pay for curriculum. Those workbooks are unusual for kids in Ghana to have. We buy workbooks for kindergarten and nursery. Next slide. And we've been building buildings. The one on the left is bathrooms that got finished during the last couple of years. It had been started before. And then the one on the right is the kitchen. Behind it, that one now is enclosed in like chicken wire, so animals can't get in it. They need to cook some of their food outside, so they need it both ways. But those are completely new buildings. And the next slide. But this is what we did this past year. Coming into this year, is we took the kindergarten and nursery room and made it, you can see the difference. It's one, how it used to be compared to what it is now. If it was a little darker, you would see there's paintings on the outside of animals and letters and different things like that. And then the next slide, you'll see the inside. It used to be all open, and now it's closed in to the three rooms that are needed, and there's some painting around the sides of that. But it will look like different than that today, because we also ordered some those plastic colored round tables and chairs, and then for the older ones, they wanted long tables. So it'll look even better if you went today and saw it. And then the next slide will show you our next project. In the back, this is the building for class one through third year junior high. And it's been open. We started to put some dividers in, but it has a lot of needs. It's got a dirt floor that gets muddy in the rain. The roof leaks. And so that's our project. The red roof is a building behind it. It's the silver roof right below it. And that's what we'll be working on this next year. So that's one of our big projects. You know, I never was a building person. I always care about the people. But when you're doing this, you start to see the effect of the building on the people. So the buildings matter too. And the kids were getting very distracted looking around because there was nothing keeping them focused inside the classroom. The next slide. This is just to say thank you. You know, I don't think, even seeing this, I don't think you can tell the impact you have on people and what you've given, because this church has been a big support. People's lives seriously are changed. You might hear that, but it's true. I see it. You know, education makes a big difference. The Bible school makes a big difference in the ministry that they do. People over there, just like here sometimes, have some strange ideas. And, you know, we correct all those. We teach the truth. Very Bible-based teaching. You know, the elderly, you know, some of them wouldn't survive without help. I forgot to say that there's some that we've helped even more. One man died fairly recently, a few months ago, but we had given him, the last year, given him extra food. In the past, we covered his building with a roof, a real roof that wasn't leaking. We gave him a mattress, a chair, we had to give him used clothes, because if we gave him new clothes, people would steal it. But there's ways we have helped people in addition to that. It makes a difference. It makes a big difference. He only had his church and us. That's all he had. And if we didn't help him, his life would have been even worse. So you make a difference, and your prayers make a difference. We always need the prayer of people around us. We can't do it alone. I wouldn't go back if I was told I had to do it myself. I wouldn't go back. But I know I don't have to. I know I don't have to. But thank you. Thank you. Oh, I forgot to say, we have a sign-up for newsletter out there, too, if you'd just like to hear how things are going. I don't bug you every week. It's like 2, 3, 4 times a year. That's all.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you, because we can't do it without you. And so that's a little bit of what's going on. And when Donna goes back, we'll get ready to start building again. And our hope is to be able to build that classroom. And then the boys that come from the other villages, they sleep in a very small room on the floor. So our hope is to build one dorm this year too, so that we can get them situated. And you have no idea how blessed we are until you go to a third world country and you see how people live, you know? So you've been wonderful. Without you, we can't do anything. And so I just want to say, at the back, we have 6 children that need to be sponsored. And it used to be $35 a month, but we've upped it to $40 a month because the cost has gone up so much to be able to do this. On an average, we send over between $9,000 and $10,000 a month. And this last one was $9,960. And so that's what it's costing to feed 215 children twice a day. All our foster children, all their care, all their medical, the elderly, run the Bible school. Like, that's what it's costing. And every month I think, thank you, Lord. We were able to transfer again. And I don't foresee it going down just because of the economy. So, but praise God, he's met it every time. So there are 6 children out there. If you have a heart to sponsor a child, it goes to the child completely. I don't take a salary. We just make sure the money gets over there. So it's 100% going over there. Because really, anything that needs to be done, the church pretty well covers it. So it's a good ministry to sow into, I believe.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.